So for as long as I can remember, I've had this subtle, slow creeping awareness that nothing is really as it seems. That the whole setup, the structures, the customs, the stories we keep telling ourselves, it's all held together by a collective denial. A kind of agreed upon grand illusion. And it seems that the human condition depends on us believing in this, the polished surface of things, just enough to keep the machine running. But under that surface, there's something else going on. Something more intricate and hollow and more fragile. And I think there's something fundamentally and probably fatally flawed. And you can feel it. Deep in the recesses of your mind, the part of you that doesn't respond to language just signals. And you try to suppress it, like a queasy warning in your gut that you're going to vomit. You try to distract yourself, breathe through it, but nonetheless it builds, and when it finally hits, there's just no going back. And there's a strange relief in that moment, sure, a clarity of sorts, but the foreboding, it doesn't really leave. It just changes shape and it becomes the new background noise of your reality. Because now you're awake. And that's the problem. But also that's perhaps the solution. So it wasn't a panic attack. It wasn't even dramatic. It was serene, almost tranquil, like slipping into a suit that doesn't fit anymore and finally admitting to yourself that it never really did. They don't talk about that part of waking up, the stillness and the fact that nothing really changes on the surface. You still pay your rent and you still answer your emails with hope you're doing well, even when you absolutely hope nothing of the sort. But inside, there's this fracture running through the middle of everything. And I think that's what consciousness feels like. Not enlightenment so much, but just the subtle, inescapable suspicion that the story you were handed doesn't really hold together when you hold it up to the light. So you start to notice things, like the choreography of small talk, for instance. The way, how are you, isn't really a question. The blank-eyed fatigue and the woman bagging your groceries while the guy behind you is yelling into his phone about crypto. You see how much of life is actually just theater. And how much of that theater is running on bad scripts. Reboots of reboots. Motivational quotes with fonts that should be illegal. Instagram therapist handing out made-up trauma diagnosis like their business cards at a networking event. I think you kind of get the idea. And then once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. And that's kind of the sick joke. It's the moment you become aware, truly aware, You're no longer allowed to participate in the fantasy without a certain degree of irony. And irony is not a great life raft. It keeps you afloat, but you're still in the middle of the ocean, watching everyone else pretend the water is just part of the experience. So people talk about waking up like it's a beautiful sunrise. But for me, it was more like an eviction. Like I'd been kicked out of some cozy mental apartment and left standing on the curb with nothing but a bathrobe and an overdrawn checking account. And it wasn't even a particularly bad life. That's what made it worse in my case. It was fine, though not entirely without shame. But I started to see how much of it was scaffolding. Stuff I built around myself to avoid asking harder questions. Like, what exactly am I doing with my one brief shot at being alive? And why does the answer seem to involve so many target receipts? Anyway, that was probably the moment, or maybe the first of many moments, because waking up isn't really an event. It's a process. And it can be a painful process, of course. And for me, it was a long, slow peeling away of the narrative until all that was left was myself and the silence. And maybe a single spoon and a beat of folding chair. So after the first wave hits, that calm unraveling, you start looking for something to hold on to. Not in a desperate way. At first, it's subtle, innocent. Maybe you read a book on mindfulness and you buy some herbal tea with a name like Tranquilizen Sleep. You consider deleting social media, but then you just move the apps into a folder and you label it toxic. Then you tell yourself you're just simplifying, just trying to live more consciously. But underneath it, you're hoping maybe you can unsee what you've seen, and that the right mantra or the right essential oil or the right macrobiotic meal plan or whatever will snap you back into believing the world isn't coming apart at the seams. And the market is more than happy to help. There's a whole industry built around monetizing your existential discomfort. And they don't even try to hide it anymore. There's a scented candle for every flavor of dread now. Are you feeling disconnected from your purpose? Try this cedarwood and resurrection fern blend. Crippling sense of nihilism. We've got a journaling prompt for that. Tired of pretending to care about your career? Well, there's a podcast and a shamanic breathing retreat just waiting for your credit card info. Now, I went through that phase. The maybe I just need more intention phase. Bought the books, downloaded some useless apps. I even tried breathing techniques, but I kept getting distracted by the sound of my own blood pressure. So the problem is, most of these so-called solutions are just aesthetically curated distractions. The same empty promises, just with better typography and design. It's like spirituality rebranded for people who own too many water bottles. And the irony is, the more you seek comfort in these things, the more artificial it all starts to feel. You're trying to heal from the illusion using tools made by the illusion. Sort of like trying to escape a maze by following the instructions printed on the wall of the maze. And soon, you start to see it everywhere. This low frequency insanity humming under the surface of everything. You stand in line at the coffee shop and wonder why we've collectively agreed to pay $7 for a cup of stimulant just to survive another workday that we resent. You scroll past someone's vacation photos and feel absolutely nothing. Not envy or curiosity, just a vague sense of displacement, like you've wandered into someone else's life by mistake. And even joy feels suspect. Like, am I actually enjoying this, or am I just grateful for a temporary break in the existential noise? And eventually, you stop trying to fix it. You stop trying to go back where you expected things to feel normal. Because now, you know the truth, that the call is coming from inside the house. You know, it's not just the world that's broken, it's you too. And not in the melodramatic Tumblr core way. Also, not in the way that can be fixed by an inspirational quote in a handwritten font over a stock photo of a woman in a wheat field. It's deeper than that. It's structural, philosophical. You realize that meaning isn't guaranteed and that purpose isn't handed to you in a welcome packet. That most people are just guessing and winging it and saying it with confidence because they're afraid you'll notice the crack in their voice. And once you accept that, I think something starts to shift. Not necessarily in a hopeful way, just a quieter way. You stop asking, how do I get back to who I was? And instead, you ask, what the hell do I do now that I've seen the scaffolding? So, I think living with awareness is like living with a parasite made of clarity. It doesn't kill you exactly, it just sort of eats through your attachments, one by one. Things that used to seem urgent start to seem, or well, they start to lose their potency or their voltage. I mean, you still respond to the email, but you don't really care about the email. And you know, you still show up to the meeting, but part of you is Floating 2 feet above your own body, wondering why Doug from HR speaks exclusively in LinkedIn syntax or something. And here's an important one. Relationships change too. Some people drift away, though not necessarily because they're bad or toxic or any of the usual Instagram exit language, but because you can't pretend you're on the same frequency anymore. They are more or less still invested in the old game and the upgrades and the pointless social currency. You know, they're still invested in the performance of figuring it out. And you're not. Not anymore. You don't know what you're doing either, but now you're honest about it, which weirdly makes you harder to be around. Unfortunate side effect. So I should mention that this experience, this process, it can be a little isolating. So people, they like certainty. Or at least they like the illusion of it. They want to believe their plans matter, that their 5-year strategy is leading somewhere other than a slow spiral into entropy. And you stating, "I don't know what any of this means anymore," at a brunch table doesn't land well between mimosas and mortgage talk. Now, eventually, you develop what I call existential tact. You don't lie exactly. You just nod a little more, smile vaguely, and change the subject when someone starts talking about insufferable productivity hacks. Let people have their delusions the same way you'd let a child keep believing in Santa because you can't bear to explain inflation and moral compromise. But internally, you are rewired. And you stop chasing legacy. You stop thinking about who you're supposed to become. And you start noticing who you already are when you're not trying to impress anyone. And it's jarring because I think that sometimes what's left really, it isn't all that impressive. Sometimes what's left is tired and introverted and sort of over it before it even begins. All right. So then you develop a strange relationship with time. It no longer feels linear, and our whole society is built on the linear. So it's a significant adjustment. And some days they stretch out like an endless psychic hangover, while other days just vanish in an instant. Then everything starts to blur together. The past, the future, the idea of next steps. And you start measuring time in moments of clarity instead of in hours or days or years. Those, brief, rare instances where you feel like you're actually here and not just rehearsing life that hasn't happened yet. So I think you finally learn to embrace the importance of existing in the present moment rather than being obsessed with the timeline. And that is a game changer. But here's the unexpected part. You start to feel ultimately free, liberated. Not necessarily happy or enlightened, just less bound. And maybe you realize you've been walking around carrying an invisible manual your entire life. How to be, how to succeed, how to make your parents proud, how to be lovable, how to fit in. And now suddenly, that's all gone. And instead of panicking, you actually feel lighter. You stop trying to optimize yourself into some brand. And you stop looking for someone to fix you, or you stop trying to look for someone to fix. You no longer need to be right all the time, and you stop giving a shit about your algorithm. So, you still wake up and go through the motions, sure. You pay bills and floss and text people back, etc. But somewhere in the back of your mind, there's a stillness now. And you've noticed that the void has stopped screaming. It just sort of hums in the background. And in that hum, there's space without answers, but there is something else. Breath, honesty, curiosity, authenticity, sometimes even joy, God forbid. And not the fake social media kind of joy. The kind that sneaks up on you at the gas station while you're watching a crow walk across the parking lot like it owns the place. Now, it's not much, but it is real. And that matters. All right, so at some point, after the panic fades and the spiritual junk drawer's been emptied, you probably realize that awareness isn't something to solve. It's something to carry. And there's no prize for it, no finish line. There's no secret knowledge that makes it all neatly click into place. It's just a shift in how you hold the weight of being alive. So the old motivations don't return. You don't go back to trying to win at life. You stop needing everything to be meaningful, and instead, you begin to appreciate the beauty of things that are simply unapologetically pointless. For example, a conversation with no agenda, a book with no real takeaway, maybe a walk where you don't track your steps like a neurotic little productivity tyrant. And you start to see how much of life's suffering comes from trying to force coherence onto something that was never designed to make sense. You start to recognize and then let go of attachments. Life doesn't have to be a riddle. It's a noise, a rich, terrifying, and ridiculous noise. And you're in it, whether you ask to be or not. And I think that's the thing no one wants to admit. There's no ultimate safety or final certainty. There's no master plan. There's just you holding the strange, terrifying miracle of existence with trembling hands, trying not to drop it while everyone around you insists they figured it out because they watched a TED talk about vulnerability. And you stop chasing certainty and start developing more tolerance for discomfort, for mystery and other people's nonsense, maybe even your own. And oddly enough, the more you allow for meaninglessness, the more meaning starts to show up in the margins. Just little flashes, not capital M meaning or billboard-sized epiphanies, just little things like a well-timed glance or a sentence in a novel that feels like it was waiting for you. Things you would have overlooked before, but now you realize they seem to hold real importance. And I think you start to recognize in this context that sanity is a form of rebellion. So, choosing to stay awake without posturing or becoming insufferably smug about it, it's not just brave, it's countercultural. Most people are still running towards something. They're chasing. Well, you're just sitting on the bench smoking an imaginary cigarette, watching the parade go by with a smirk and maybe a little sympathy. And not because you think you're better or superior or any of that, but because you finally stopped lying to yourself. And you don't have to do anything heroic with that realization. You're not obligated to start a blog or a YouTube channel or, I don't know, move to Portugal and grow your own beets. You don't need to fix the world. You just need to stop pretending that you're not inside of it. And that's the work, not fixing or fleeing, just staying. Staying in the discomfort and the absurdity. Staying in the honesty of being alive, even when it bloody hurts, especially when it bloody hurts. Because I think once you accept that there's no one coming to save you, and there's no final answer, no cosmic punch card to validate, then you are finally free to just live without pretending and optimizing and without waiting for it to mean more than it does. And if that doesn't sound like enough, good. It just means you're still awake. So where does that leave you? Well, not enlightened and not really saved, but instead just conscious, which is somehow more terrifying and more liberating than either, in my humble opinion. I mean, you got to go to work and pay your taxes, and you still have to find something for dinner that doesn't require emotional energy or using a second pan. But now you're doing it without the illusion of a story that if you just hustle harder or meditate a little longer, you'll earn your way out of the human condition. You won't. No one does. And believe me, I wish it was that easy. But here's what I think you can do. For starters, you can tell the truth. And you can at least try to resist the temptation to polish yourself into something shinier for other people's approval. I think you can decide that it's okay to live in the gray areas and be uncertain and to not know what happens after you die or what the hell you're even supposed to do while you're alive. You can take care of your nervous system like it's the only home you've got, because really it is. And you can watch a thunderstorm roll in and just let it remind you that storms usher in change and not everything is on a schedule or meant to be controlled. And I think you can reject the algorithmic version of yourself, the one that thinks it needs to produce constant content or progress in order to be seen or to be valid. You can just say no to the hustle and to the belief that every scar has to be turned into some kind of performance. You can just let some things be ugly and unresolved. It's okay. I think imperfection is authenticity. And, once in a while, you'll catch yourself laughing, like genuinely laughing. And I don't mean the performative type you give people to prove you're still fun at parties, but a real involuntary gut punch laugh that reminds you, oh yeah, holy shit, I'm still human. I'm still in here. And if you're really lucky, or maybe just really honest with yourself, someone else will hear that laugh and recognize it. And for just a moment or two, you won't feel quite so isolated in the void. I think that's all we get. These little recognitions. These stolen glances of truth between people who've stopped pretending, who've stopped lying. And look, it's not utopia, it's not bliss, but it is real. And after all the layers of bullshit have been stripped away, I think that real is the only thing left that's worth chasing. So, congratulations on recognizing your liberation and your transformation. And yeah, we're probably all doomed, but in a poetic way, we're not doomed in this eternally present moment. And at least now we know it. And strangely, that's the beginning of something almost like peace. All right, thanks for watching.